Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. This is Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Today is May 16th of 2024. It's the live internet broadcast, and today we are discussing the Seven Plagues Prophecy. I want to begin with sharing with you a special blessing that is provided for every person who hears the prophecy written in the book of Revelation, who listen to the message of prophecy written in the book of Revelation, and individuals who obey the instructions contained in the specific prophecies in the book of Revelation. Let's go to it. Revelation Chapter 1, verse 3, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all, that's you, friend and truth seeker, says, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says. So what does that mean? It means for you as a person who tonight is going to listen to the words of prophecy contained in the Seven Plagues Prophecy, Revelation chapters 15 and 16. This is one of the documentaries John the Revelator was shown by an angel of the Lord as he stood in heaven. So he wrote down everything he saw and heard. And so because he wrote it down, and it was about the future, we refer to it as a prophecy. But as he watched it, he watched moving pictures with sound. He watched an actual real documentary about the seven final plagues. And in Revelation chapter 1, talking about what John the Revelator has shared in Revelation chapters 15 and 16, that's our focus today, the Seven Plagues Prophecy. It says, God blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for blessing every listener of PGN who tonight hears the words of prophecy contained in the book of Revelation and who obey the instructions contained in the prophecy in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, and amen. So let us get to it. I'm going to read the Seven Plagues Prophecy. It begins with Revelation chapter 15, and it ends with Revelation chapter 16. So it's these two chapters in their entirety. Reading from the New King James Version tonight, John the Revelator says to you and me, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Now let's pause here for a second. We are about to hear the wrath of God and the reality of the wrath of God. In other words, the manifestation of the wrath of God on this present earth. Now, at the beginning of this prophecy, we heard where the people of God are during the wrath of God on the earth. The people of God are in heaven when the seven final plagues are happening on this present earth. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? So the seven final plagues, what we're about to hear, the wrath of God on this present earth, happens after the wrath of Satan. So the wrath of Satan is the great tribulation. When the great tribulation comes to an end, Jesus Christ returns. That's the marriage of the Lamb begins. It happens. I shouldn't say it begins, but it happens, the marriage of the Lamb, the first resurrection, after the wrath of Satan has been poured out on this earth. That's the great tribulation that lasts 1,260 days. When Jesus Christ returns, we rise up to meet him in the clouds. And as you heard at the beginning of Revelation chapter 15, now where is everyone who was here during the Great Tribulation? So some people will be here for only part of the Great Tribulation, because some will die a normal death during the Great Tribulation due to old age or due to cancer or due to an accident. Some will die during the Great Tribulation due to being martyred because they give testimony for Jesus Christ and they suffer death via beheading. That's reported in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, some will die during the Great Tribulation. Some of us will endure the entire Great Tribulation, will never ever die, and will transition from mortality to immortality. Either way, all three groups of individuals who experience the Great Tribulation to some degree or experience it in its entirety, we're all victorious. Let's catch Let's catch the reality of where are we? Where are we when the wrath of God is poured out on this earth? This is what John the Revelator said at the beginning of this documentary that he watched. This is what he wrote down about it. He says, then I saw another sign in heaven. And then he says in verse 2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. This is the same sea of glass that he saw as described in the Seven Seals prophecy, Revelation chapter 5. He says, and I saw, he reports that, I just said Revelation chapter 5. I believe that he reports the sea of glass in Revelation chapter 4 when he's describing, literally where he is when he first arrives in heaven. Let me go there for a second. Revelation chapter 4, so I can share that with you. In Revelation chapter 4, that's John's report on heaven. When John first arrives in heaven, before he's shown any of the documentaries, he's describing literally what he sees. And he says he sees a throne and someone sitting on a throne. And then in verse 6 he says, in front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. And so now, later, when he's actually watching documentaries about the future, he sees every person who's victorious. Victorious over what? It says, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, who's the beast? The Antichrist. Over his image, what's his image? That's the statue that the false prophet, the final pope, will commission. The final pope will commission a statue of the Antichrist. That's in Revelation chapter 13. So, again, our question is, where are we? Those who experience the Great Tribulation to any extent, partially or in its entirety, where are we, those who are in Christ, after the Great Tribulation has ended, and when God's wrath is poured out on this present earth? Well, John says, here we are. He sees something, quote, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. So this is in heaven. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass. Now, you can't stand on the sea of glass, which is in heaven, unless you're in heaven, right? You have to be in heaven to stand on the sea of glass, which is in heaven, as reported in Revelation chapter 4, and here again in the future, Revelation chapter 15. And what does it say we're doing as we're standing on the sea of glass? Having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of the God, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb sang. And then the lyrics of the song that we're going to sing are here. Maybe you want to start practicing. I wish God would give me the melody so I could hear the song in advance. But the take-home point is the wrath of God, these seven final plagues, when they are poured out on the present earth, no person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in other words, no person who's in the family of God will endure the seven plagues which are going to be poured out on this earth. The wrath of God is not for Christians. We aren't appointed to God's wrath. It's for those who are not victorious over the beast, those who are not victorious over the Antichrist, over the image of the Antichrist, who are not victorious over the mark of the Antichrist, who are not victorious over the number of the name of the Antichrist, which that number is 666. They will not be standing on the sea of glass with a harp of God in heaven singing a song to worship and praise the Lord. No, they're going to be on this present earth enduring God's wrath. They are going to endure the wrath of God as those of us who have been victorious. In other words, we endured persecution patiently during the Great Tribulation, and either we died a natural death or we experienced martyrdom as we lost our life due to testimony of Jesus Christ, or we experienced the Great Tribulation in its entirety and stayed in Christ. Either way, we're going to be in heaven. Once we rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, that's the marriage of the Lamb. After the Great Tribulation, we continue with Jesus going up to heaven. And what's going to happen on this present earth? Well, let's get to it. The second half of the prophecy, here it is, beginning again with verse 1 of chapter 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So now that we're in heaven, all of God's forever family, we're all in heaven with him. But the earth is still awaits God's judgment. It still awaits Jesus Christ fighting and winning the battle of Armageddon. It still awaits the kingdom of God being established on the earth. So this is the beginning of things with respect to that. The beginning of things with respect to that. Okay, verse 2 says, so the first, talking about the first of the seven angels, so the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. So when the first angel pours out his bowl on the earth, every person who has the mark of the beast, what does that mean? They took the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation. They're living it up. See, the Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. It's a time of great distress for those who are Team Jesus, those who are in Israel, who are worshiping in the rebuilt temple. But it's a time of pleasure. It's a time of fun. It's a time of wealth for those who are Team Satan. It's going to be a kumbaya experience for all the false religions. All the false religions are going to get into agreement saying that, you know what? God is here on this present earth, and his name is, and they're going to worship the Antichrist, a mere man. They're going to worship him as if he was God, because he's going to stand in the third temple in Israel and declare that he is God. He's going to declare that he is God, and then folks who are deceived, folks who are deceived because they are among those who are part of the one world religion, they're part of the harlot church, which will be the mother of all the false religions during that time, or maybe they're in one of these other religions that will come into covenant with the harlot church that will be the promoter, the mother of all false religions during the Great Tribulation. So the folks who are Team Satan, practicing the false religions, they're all going to take the mark of the beast, and they're going to worship. They're going to worship the statue of the Antichrist commissioned by the final pope. And so what's going to happen? Foul and loathsome sores are going to come upon those individuals who have the mark of the beast and who worship his image. Now, then what's going to happen? Verse 3 says, then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. Now, why is this in the past tense? So it's in our future. John the Revelator saw the documentary in its entirety. So as he watched it, it's in terms of linear time. So if you think of time as happening past, present, future, And the trajectory only goes in one direction, which is from past to future. That's time as something that is linear. In reality, time's not linear, right? Because all time exists within God. So God has the ability to reach into time and reach out of time, to go back in time and to go into the future. So time is only linear for those of us who are experiencing it in a particular context. So John is referring to this as if it has already happened, because in the future it has already happened. So this is not a prediction. This is a prophecy. What does that mean? This is a reality reported by God, shown to John the Revelator by an angel appointed by Jesus Christ, instructed by Jesus Christ to show him this documentary. So it has already happened in the future, even though it hasn't happened for us yet. Okay, so what happens next? Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood, as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Now let's pause there for a second. What do you think is going to happen with the animal mafia? What do you think the animal mafia people are going to say? I think that they are going to curse God. I think they're going to say, how can a loving God destroy living creatures? Do you know that God's ways are higher than my ways? I think everyone knows that. God's ways are higher than my ways. But do you also know that God's ways, God's thinking, is higher than your thinking and your ways too? Now, God is a just God. This present earth is under the curse. And God's wrath, it's coming on the earth in its entirety. So 100% of the living creatures on this fallen earth, 100% of the living creatures that are in the sea, so you know that's the salt water seas, they are going to experience death. Now let's continue what happens next. Verse 4 of chapter 16 says, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. So this is saying, when the third plague happens, which is turning all the fresh water, so this is the water that folks drink. So folks drink water from springs and from rivers. There's the absence of salt in it. This is the fresh water. It's going to become, it says, blood. And the angel of the Lord explains that this is justice because these individuals who took the mark of the beast, who worshiped the image of the beast, who failed to gain victory over the number of the beast, the Antichrist, these individuals have shed the blood of saints. What does that mean? Those who are in Christ, Christians, and prophets. So the prophets of God, remember, the two witnesses are going to be killed by individuals who worship the Antichrist, who have the mark of the beast, and they're going to be celebrating their death. And there are other prophets as well. So they're going to shed the blood of Christians and prophets during the wrath of Satan. And so now, after the wrath of Satan has ended, and it's the wrath of God, it's time for their just due. It's time for, quote-unquote, their just due. The Bible says that. So their just due is to be given blood to drink, since they shed the blood of God's people. Let's continue. Revelation 16, verse 7 says, "And I heard another from the altar saying, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.'" So these are God's judgments. He is judging the people who belong to this world. So the book of Revelation divides people into two categories: the people who belong to this world and the people who belong to the kingdom. I'm not talking about Saudi Arabia. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. See, Isaiah chapter 9 says, "And of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end." So we pray, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, when is the kingdom going to come? When is the kingdom of God going to come? Well, it's going to come when Jesus Christ fights and wins the battle of Armageddon. Now, what's the beginning? What's the very beginning of that process? The very beginning of that process is God judging the people who are still on this present earth after the first resurrection. So these are God's judgments. Let's continue. Verse 8 says, "Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory." Now, I want to pause there for a second. Lots of people have argued recently that when the first resurrection happens, people are going to be deceived into believing about aliens. They're going to be deceived into, and they start listing a lot of things. And what I want to direct our attention to is the reality that when these seven plagues are poured out on the earth, it's after the first resurrection. And people will know that these plagues are coming from God. They don't curse the aliens. They don't curse Satan. They curse God, God who is in heaven, God the Father who is creator of the heavens and the earth, as well as the new earth to come and the new heavens to come. So they are cursing God because they have correctly discerned that they failed to participate in the first resurrection, and now they are being punished because God's judgment, the God who dwells in heaven at that time, and right now, the God who dwells in heaven and who will continue to dwell in heaven at that time, God the Father who sits on the throne in heaven, he is judging them. These are his judgments, his seven final plagues poured out onto the people who belong to who? This world. Those who are Team Satan. And what do? They blaspheme the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. So this is the throne of the beast is the headquarters for the Antichrist. Now, that is something to think about. Where will the headquarters of the Antichrist be? So we know that the headquarters for the harlot church is Rome. That's in Revelation chapter 17 in the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy. So Rome is the headquarters for the one world religion, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation. But where is the headquarters for the Antichrist? I don't see where God reveals that specifically in the book of Revelation. Perhaps it's there and I have yet to perceive it. But we are shown here that the Antichrist will have a headquarters where he will have a throne, just like, when Queen Elizabeth was here, she sat on a throne, and her throne was in a specific location. Same for the Antichrist. Now, let me clarify something. I'm not saying that the descendants of Queen Elizabeth are the Antichrist, okay? I want to be clear, I'm not saying that. In fact, Prophet Randy Chandler has identified the identity of the Antichrist in September of 2022, the identity of the Antichrist was revealed on PGN September 12th, which was a Monday. So let's stay here where we are. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, that's the headquarters for the Antichrist, and his kingdom became full of darkness. What does that mean? Blackout. Blackout. I remember years ago, it was hot. It was during the summer here in the United States of America where I live, and there were rolling blackouts. They gave reasons for why the blackout happened. I don't know if those reasons reflect the reality or not, but the blackout, the power outage for the headquarters for the Antichrist is going to be supernatural, and it's not going to be the supernatural power of Satan, but the supernatural power of God is going to cause his kingdom. What's his kingdom? The physical location, the headquarters for the Antichrist is going to, quote, full of darkness. Then it says, and they gnaw their tongues because of the pain. Now, why are they gnawing their tongues because of the pain? Remember, the very first plague, the people who serve the Antichrist, they have sores. They have sores all over their body. And this is going to cause them to gnaw their tongues because they won't be able to get rid of the pain. Some people, unfortunately, have physical ailments that pain medication doesn't work for. You know, there's a category of pain medication where, you know, those medications can only be prescribed by physicians, and they're only given for illnesses that are known to be incredibly painful. But some people have physiological ailments that are so severe that no amount of morphine, no amount of Percocet, no amount of, you just keep filling those things in, Tramadol, it doesn't work for them. So what does it say? And they gnaw their tongues because of the pain. They're going to be in tremendous pain. And verse 11 says, they blasphemed. So there's going to be a blackout at the headquarters of the Antichrist. What's happening with the Antichrist, his people? It says, and they gnaw their tongues because of the pain. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. So these are all the foolish people, all the fools. They have put their trust in the wrong God. They have put their trust in a false God, and their God will not be able to heal them. So they're going to be with their God, the Antichrist, on this present earth, and yet they're going to be sick. When Jesus's people were with him physically, they weren't sick anymore. Why not? Because he's the healer. He is God manifest in the flesh. So he has the power of God. Power of God to do what? To bring peace, to bring healing. The Antichrist can't heal people. He's not going to heal people. What will his people do? Quote, and they gnaw their tongues because of the pain. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. So they're not going to be, they're going to be aware that there's a God in heaven who is distinct and separate from their God on the earth, the Antichrist. And they're going to understand that the Antichrist has no ability to deliver them from the pains and the sores that have come upon them due to the judgment of God, not the judgment of aliens, the judgment of God. It says they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. Now, I find this very interesting. Maybe you do too. I would think that folks would get a clue. They would say, wait a minute, that this Antichrist guy, he's not it. He's not it because look at all these sores that we have. We need to repent. Maybe if we repent, God will have mercy on us. But they don't do that. They double down. They double down. What? How did you say, well, how do they double down? Not only did they reject God and take the mark of the beast, now they double down by doing what? Quote, they blasphemed the God of heaven and did not repent of their deeds. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. Now, it's interesting. They don't blaspheme the God of this world, Satan. They don't blaspheme their false God, the Antichrist. They don't blaspheme the false prophet who will be the final pope. No, they blaspheme the God of heaven. Listen, when the wrath of God is poured out on this earth, people will know for a fact Antichrist is the God on this present earth, and he is distinct and separate from the God of heaven. They will know for a fact this is not the same God who sits in heaven. This is a different God. So some folks will be unclear, but they're going to get real clear when the wrath of God is poured out on this earth. Let's continue. Verse 12 says, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, this is very key. So there's the Holy Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Great is the mystery of the Godhead. Okay, and then there's what I'm referring to as an unholy Trinity. Here it is, noted in the book of Revelation. The dragon, that's Satan. The beast, that's his flunky here on the earth during the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist. And the false prophet, that's the final pope, the leader of the one world religion during the Great Tribulation. Verse 14 says, for they are spirits of demons. Let me go back. Verse 13 says, and I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, they have unclean spirits, demonic spirits. Verse 14 says, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Listen, when the people who belong to this world see miracles like fire being called down from heaven by the final pope, the false prophet, a lot of people are going to be deceived. Now, that's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. So while the Antichrist is still on top, he's still on top during the Great Tribulation. He's on top for 42 months. He has the authority, and he's permitted to do whatever he wants on this earth for 42 months, they're going to be deceived when they see amazing and supernatural signs and miracles being performed by the false prophet. And during the wrath of God, Satan is still going to be using his power and demonic spirits to do what? Quote, unquote, perform signs. And when they see these signs, people are going to get hyped up. They're going to get energized. They're going to believe. When they see supernatural signs being performed, they're going to believe that this is incredible. The Antichrist, he is a God. He's not the God of heaven. They're going to be clear on that at that point, that he's not the God of heaven, but they're going to falsely believe that he is a God because they think that the supernatural power of Satan is an indication that Satan is a god, and he's not a god. He is a creation of God who is going to destruction. Verse 15 says, behold, this is Jesus Christ talking to us. Verse 15 says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. End quote. Then John the Revelator picks back up and says, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Armageddon is part of the wrath of God. Let's continue. Verse 17 says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and it was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon, this is talking about Rome, the headquarters for the harlot church during the Great Tribulation, it says, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. If you want to know about the destruction of Rome, you want to know about the destruction of Rome as these when the seventh and final plague is poured out, that's in the purple and scarlet prophecy is described in awesome detail. That's Revelation chapters 17 and 18, as well as verses 1 to 5 of chapter 19. But we get a brief synopsis of it here. It says, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Now, in another translation, it says, the weight, the hailstone weighs 75 pounds. Let me tell you, so if you look in the New Living Translation, it says, let me get that for us. So in the New King James Version, it says the hail, that plague was exceedingly great. In the New Living Translation, it says there was a terrible hailstorm and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. Listen, you do not want to be on this present earth when the wrath of God comes. Now, another place you don't want to be is you don't want to be underneath the earth in Hades in a prison of darkness as the wrath of God is being poured out on this earth. You always want to have the victory. How do you have the victory? How can you be victorious if you are in Christ, whether on this present earth or as a disembodied spirit in heaven, you're victorious. Every person who participates in the marriage of the Lamb, we will be in a physical, tangible, incorruptible, perfected, glorified body when these seven plagues are poured out. When these seven plagues are poured out on the present earth, we heard it in Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now, we didn't hear about where everyone in Christ is, but we know that everyone in Christ is in heaven. We heard specifically the continuing report. As we hear throughout the book of Revelation, the continuing report of what happens to people who endure, those who are in Christ, who endure the Great Tribulation partially or in its entirety. So we get the story of that specific segment of the body of Christ, because the book of Revelation really focuses on that. However, every person who is in Christ, those who died 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago or 2 years ago, all of the body of Christ will participate in the first resurrection, and we will escape the wrath of God. Now, you may have heard me say before, Planet of the Apes is one of my favorite movies. There are 10 of them now. Kingdom recently was released. Daryl Paul and I went to see that on May 9th. It was okay. It was okay. My take-home point is they have a movie called Escape from the Planet of the Apes, an interesting movie. But more interesting than a fiction, right? So something a person has made up for entertainment purposes, more interesting is reality. Escape from the wrath of God. How do you escape from the wrath of God on this present earth? Well, if you are here, during the wrath of God, that means you fail to be victorious. What does it mean to fail to be victorious? Well, in the context of the book of Revelation, that means that, and let's go back to the New King James translation, if you fail to escape the wrath of God on this present earth, it means, according to Revelation chapter 15, that you fail to be victorious over the beast. It means that you fail to be victorious over the image of the Antichrist. You fail to be victorious over the mark of the beast. That's the mark of the Antichrist. And you fail to be victorious over the number of his name. Listen, I want to prophesy over every truth seeker listening to my voice. I just declare and decree, according to the word of God, that every person who is a truth seeker, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you will have victory over the beast. That is victory over the Antichrist. You will have victory over the image. That's the statue of the Antichrist. You will have victory over the mark of the beast. In other words, you will have victory over the Antichrist's mark. You will not take the mark of the beast on your forehead. You will not take the mark of the beast on your hand. You will have victory over the number of his name, the name of the Antichrist. You will stand on the sea of glass in heaven with a harp of God in your hands. You will sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, as you stand in heaven because you participated in the marriage of the Lamb, and therefore you escape the wrath of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Escape the wrath of God. Be victorious during the great tribulation's aftermath. You will be victorious. Hallelujah. Now, maybe this is your first time hearing these details, and you say, well, how can I be sure I'm going to escape the wrath of God on this present earth? You can be sure if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I implore you to look at Acts. Look at Acts in the New Testament. In the Bible, there's a book called Acts, A-C-T-S. It's the history of individuals who were the first converts to Christianity. What did they do? How do you become a Christian? How do you get saved? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, there are instructions for how to, quote-unquote, get saved. follow those instructions, and you can be confident that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, many people, people who are smarter than I am, many people have discussion about how to get saved, and those discussions are very interesting. I can tell you the Bible is the infallible word of God, so I encourage you to get in the Bible, and I'm referring you specifically to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, and I'm excited for the future. Escape, escape from the wrath of God on this planet Earth. You can do it, friend and truth seeker. I pray that you will do it. I'm excited for us to continue discussion and analysis of the seven plagues prophecy on Sunday. I want to invite you to share your questions, to share your prayer requests, to share your comments on the book of Revelation with me, and you can do that by texting us the PGN text number. You can text us on the PGN text number. You can use this phone number. If you press 1, that will raise your hand in the virtual queue. That will let me know that you have a question or comment or prayer request, maybe all three. So we are coming to a close for today. I want to say thank you for being with me and with us. And according to Jeremiah 33:3, I encourage you to call out to God. He promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Until next time, friend and truth seeker, God bless you.